Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 19. We're going to kind of continue our series that we've been walking through Acts. If you've been around lately, you know that last week it was my first time to get to preach in 5 weeks because of complications that I had with surgery. I was in the hospital and gone for so long, and so it was great to be back. And it was great to finally kind of get back into our Acts series for the first time, which was over a month. And so it was kind of fun. And because we just kind of got back into this series, it caused me to struggle a little bit this week about whether or not we should continue through Acts or kind of do a Mother's Day message, because I've done those from time to time where God puts a message on my heart that kind of is a Mother's Day message. And so, as you can see, I've decided to continue through Acts. And one of the main reasons is because I really didn't want to lose momentum. If you weren't here last week, we had just kind of an amazing time learning about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as we saw in Acts 19 at the beginning when Paul talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and laid hands, and we saw that happen. And so if you didn't get a chance to hear that message, I would encourage you to go online and listen to it. You can listen to our messages online through our website, or if you go on to iTunes and just search Dallas Foursquare Church, you'll find our podcast there, and you can listen to these messages online. And I would just encourage you to listen to it, because I think it would really help you understand who we desire to be as a church. And just the fact that we believe God gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us and to help us be the effective force, right? It's this series, The Force Awakens, this force, this power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to be this force that God has called us to be. And so I think last week's message really highlights what that might look like for each of us. And so I just encourage you to check it out if you get a chance. And so this morning, we're just going to continue kind of where we left off. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Acts 19, just verses 8 through 12, 5 verses this morning. This is what it says. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. And the way was what the Christians were called back then. That was the way was the group of believers that talked about Jesus and him rising from the dead and who he was. And so they maligned the way. And so Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years. So that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. And that's where we're going to stop this morning. If you remember last week, Paul had left Corinth. He had been in Corinth for some time. He's left Corinth and he is now in Ephesus. Okay? And once again, as we look at these scriptures, we see Paul doing what he always does. Doing what he was meant to do. He's telling people about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't know that gospel means good news, I just want to tell you that. You know, I hear the word gospel again and again all through growing up. And I was like a senior in high school, and I'm like, what does gospel mean? I mean, I was afraid to ask because, you know, everyone, you know, just said it like I should know what it meant, and I didn't want to seem like an idiot. And so, anyway, so you don't seem like an idiot if you're like, what is gospel? Gospel is, it means the good news. And so he would share the good news of Jesus Christ. He would live out his life as a believer. And I think that Paul sets an example for us in how we should be living our lives as believers. And so as I looked at these scriptures kind of with that perspective, I believe that there are three things that the Lord kind of brought to my attention that we can learn from Paul here when it comes to living our life as a believer. And so the first thing I want to share with you this morning is this. Living life as a believer means boldly sharing Jesus with others. In verse 8 it says, when Paul got to Ephesus, you know, after spending time with the people and after he prayed over them and met the Christians that were in that area, we talked about last week, it says in verse 8, Paul entered the synagogue and he spoke boldly there for 3 months. And so this is the Jewish synagogue. He would come there, he would speak boldly, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. And so we have to remember, if we're Christians, if we call ourselves Christians, we're called to take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the ends of the earth, right? He says to take it to the ends of the earth. Now, does that mean that all of us need to consider being missionaries? Do we need to start packing our bags right now to take to the ends of the earth? No, at least that's not what he's saying to me. I don't know. He could say that to you, all right? One of my best friends in Newburgh, the Lord said that to him, and they packed up and went to Vanuatu, one of the missionaries that we support. But it doesn't mean that we have to consider to be missionaries. But what it does mean is that we can't be afraid to share the truth of Jesus Christ with those around us in the place that He has called us to be. So I guess the question is, how do we be people who share Jesus with others boldly? And I think, first of all, it goes back to last week. It goes back to our message about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because one of the gifts that we talked about last week that can be given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit is extreme faith in the Lord, or this boldness. And we talked about it in Acts 2. When Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, what does he do? He stands up and he speaks boldly about Jesus to the same people that he was denying Jesus to earlier, right? In Acts 4:31, it says this. It says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word boldly. They were empowered with the Spirit and spoke boldly. And so I think the first step in sharing Jesus boldly with others is making sure that we're not operating in our own strength. Well, I don't know what to say. What if they ask me questions? I don't know. That's what we do in our own strength, that we're not operating in our own strength, but we're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we talked about last week, it's this thing of us continually coming before the Lord. Operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not a one-time thing. We come and we're filled and we're good, because it's this continual thing of us coming before the Lord and being strengthened and encouraged so that we can go and do what He's called us to do. It's asking Him to stir up His gifts in us. Asking Him to continually pour out His Spirit upon us, because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we will share the truth of Jesus boldly with others. I can do all things through Christ, right, who strengthens me. It's Him in us. The Holy Spirit is God, okay? I want to say that. I was talking with someone this week, and I love how they reference, you know, a lot of times we think of the Holy Spirit as Jesus' like third cousin, right? Oh, you know, the Holy Spirit. And I loved it. I was like, oh, that's a great analogy, because we do, but it's not. The Holy Spirit, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We can't put our heads around this, but it's three persons in one. They're all God. And so we have a piece of God in us. The power of the Holy Spirit, when we operate, it allows us to operate in the power of God. And the second way I think that we boldly share Jesus with others is this. It's by understanding what He's done in our own lives. If we want to be able to share Jesus boldly with others, we have to understand, what has He done in our lives? Paul's life was totally changed by his encounter with Jesus. And so for Paul, it was easy to share with others what Jesus had done in his life. He was so greatly impacted. It was such a powerful thing. He knew what God did in his life, and so he boldly shared it with others. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we understand what God has done in our lives? I know that before I came to know Jesus, I was a sinner. I was a sinner. We all were sinners as we're born into this world. And without Jesus, I know I would be without hope, heading down a road to destruction. Jesus saved me from that. He took my sin. He paid the price for my sin. He's given me hope. As a matter of fact, as we talked about last week, not only has He given me hope with Him in me, He has made me hope to others as I'm able to share Jesus boldly with others. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as I understand that I can't, or as I understand that, as I understand what Jesus has done in my life, as I understand the hope that He's given to me, I can't help but want to boldly share the truth of Jesus with others. As believers, we have to understand what God's done in our life, how He's changed our life. Because if you sit there and go, well, I don't know, my life's no different, then have you really experienced Jesus? Have you experienced His love and grace in your life? And so as believers, we all need to be people who share Jesus boldly with others. 2nd thing the Lord spoke to me through these scriptures is this. Living life as a believer means letting God direct our steps. Verse 9 says, "But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way." And we've talked about what the way was. And so Paul, what did he do? Paul left them. And it's that last section of the scripture that I want to focus on. The part where it says, "So Paul left." Okay? Because the reality is Paul continues to face rejection and opposition from the Jews in the synagogues. Everywhere he goes, he has faced opposition. He has come up against these Jews who come against him. It's all through Acts. And here's the thing. Sometimes he stayed and he faced the opposition. Other times he left. What was different from this time to the next? The text really doesn't tell us. And I can't tell you for sure, but I can tell you what I believe. The only thing that I could figure here when I look at this is that Paul is a man who listened to the Holy Spirit. He was a man that was prompted by God. And we've seen that in other times where it said the Holy Spirit directed them. The Holy Spirit said no here. The Holy Spirit said no here. The Holy Spirit allowed them to go here. We've seen that. And so I really believe that that's what's happening here. That Paul's decision to leave and to go a different direction was directed by the Lord. And here we find that it proved to be the right decision as he ended up going and doing something different. And numerous people, it says, came to know, that all the people, I think it says, in Asia and in that area came to know and hear of Jesus. And here's the thing, we're all going to have times in our lives where we face opposition. And the key is, are we listening to the Lord and are we allowing Him to direct our steps? Or are we allowing fear and other things to direct our steps? Because listen to this and hear this, okay? Not every open door is the Lord. Just because a door opens, it doesn't mean it's the Lord. And in the same way, not every closed door is the Lord saying no, right? Because we all know that we have an enemy known as the devil. And he loves to try to open doors. You know, he knows that God's calling us here and he's like, oh, hey, come over here. I got this great door that you can go down, right? Door number one or door number two? What are you going to choose, right? The enemy's like trying to tempt us. Look, this door's bigger and better. Don't you want to go through this door? Look, it's wide open. That door over there, man, it looks closed to me. You don't want to go there. The enemy can open and close doors, or tries to open and close doors in our life, which is why it's so important that we're listening to the Lord. We need to know, are we supposed to walk away like Paul did in these scriptures? Or are we supposed to stand our ground and keep moving? Because sometimes we got to kick doors down, right? Or if you can't find a door, you crawl in a window. I've heard people say that. As believers, we have to listen to the Lord and we have to let Him direct our steps. And then the final thing that the Lord spoke to me through these scriptures is this. Living life as a believer means letting God use us how He sees fit. And it goes with number two, but it's not just letting Him guide where we go. It's letting Him create who we are. We are His creation. He has a plan for our lives, and so often we live our own life. But we have to let Him create who we are. And that's even if it's something that scares us. Well, wait a second here. I'm willing to follow the Lord, to an extent, but not if He's going to ask me to do that, right? I truly doubt that Paul ever imagined all the ways that God would use him. Listen to verses 11 and 12 here. It says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. This is some powerful stuff. We talked about this a little bit last week. I referenced this. If you remember last week, healing is one of the gifts of the Spirit that God wants to pour out upon us or certain people at times. It's not, we don't get all the gifts. There's certain gifts that God uses for moments and times. Paul had this gift of healing. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that God wants to do similar things through us. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that God wants to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things, just like He did through Paul. But the key is, we have to be willing to let God use us. And not just the ways that we want Him to use us. Well, yeah, I want to do those things. I want to touch people and watch them get healed. And I'll do that, God. But it didn't start that way for Paul, man. Paul was beat up. All sorts of things that Paul went through in this process. We have to be willing to let God use us in whatever way He sees fit. And like a lot of things we talk about here on Sundays, it really comes back to obedience. Oh, you got to go there again, right? It's one of our core values, obedience. Because we understand the importance of, if we're really going to live the life God's called us to live, we have to walk in obedience. You see, God was able to do the amazing and miraculous things that He did through Paul because of Paul's willingness and obedience to do whatever God asked him to do. You see, the problem for many of us is that we experience God in this amazing way, right? Maybe when we first got saved, we experienced God in this amazing way. And then we're like, God, I'll do anything. I'll serve You. I'll live the life that You've called me to live. But then it happens. He asks us to do something. Something that's above and beyond us. Something that scares us or terrifies us. Something that takes us out of our comfort zone. And then our response is, well, you're not really serious, are you, God? I don't think I can do that. I'm okay with this, but I don't know about that. And we end up saying, thanks, but But no, thanks. I'm good where I'm at, Lord. I'm going to just keep plugging away right here. And then we wonder why God isn't using us in the way that we want Him to. You see, we have to understand that living life as a believer means giving up our will to follow His will. And I believe that His will is always, always going to be bigger than us. Ron Mell, which you've heard me talk about him time and time again, amazing pastor from Beaverton Foursquare Church, got to experience him a few different times at some conferences and things and got to hear him speak, and just this amazing man of God. But he used to say this, and this is a pretty bold statement, but I believe it. He would say, if what you're doing isn't bigger than you, then you are probably outside the will of God. That's a tough one. That hurts, doesn't it, sometimes? If what you're doing isn't bigger than you, then you're probably outside the will of God. You see, God isn't going to call us to do things that we're capable of doing on our own. Why? Because then we don't need Him. I got this. I'm in control. I get the glory. It's all about me. He's not going to call us to do things that we can handle. He's going to call us to do things that will force us to depend upon Him. Things that are beyond us. Which is why He called a youth pastor with no formal education to be a senior pastor. I was getting to that place where it was becoming easy. Yeah, I got this. I can talk to youth. I can keep it flowing. And He says, well, now I'm calling you to do something bigger than you. My wife can tell you how I used to joke that the reason I didn't want to become a senior pastor is because I would say, well, because adults are boring. And it was interesting because as we were walking through this change that God was bringing in our life, I had said that, and my wife, she called me out on this. She said, that's not the reason you don't want to be a senior pastor. She said, the reason you don't want to be a senior pastor is because you're scared. Wait, what? You know I was a Marine, right? I'm not afraid of anything. That's how I wanted to present myself, but as much as I hated to admit it, she was right. I was scared that I didn't have what it would take to be a senior pastor. That I didn't have what it would take to speak at the level of adults. I mean, I would speak like 3 times a year in Newburgh, man, and it took everything out of me to come to that level, to speak to adults and to share the gospel in a way that they didn't look at me and go, oh, that's a youth pastor, you know? And to be able to speak at that level every week. And here's the thing, if I'm being honest, I know that I, in and of myself, I don't have what it takes. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, I do. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can be the pastor that He's called me to be when I decrease and allow Him to increase. My wife, I didn't even tell her I was going to talk about her this morning, but my wife is another great example of how God takes us to places that we never imagined. And He allows us to do things far beyond us. Because if you told my wife when we planted this church that one day she would get up and preach in front of the congregation, I guarantee you she would have laughed in your face. She would have been like, ha ha ha, you're funny. That's funny. It would have been something like that. And that's because she hates getting up in front of people. She loves people. One-on-one, she's great. But in a group of people, if she doesn't know them very well, she hates just even talking. That's why she's like, clings to me when we go to pastoral things and stuff. My husband will do the talking, and I'll just sit there and nod. She struggles with being in front of people. And so to get up in front of the whole church, but it was a few years ago, and if you've been here, you know this, that God told her He wanted her to speak. Even though everything in her wanted to say no. She said yes. She was obedient to the Lord. Now, was it one of the hardest things that she ever did? She will tell you that yes, it was. It was one of the hardest things she ever did. But guess what? She survived. And she did an amazing job. Numerous people came up to her afterwards and shared how blessed they were through her sharing. I mean, I think sometimes she speaks better than I do. And so now, you know, she's spoken several times. And it's funny because after that first time, I said something about the next time you speak. And she said, yeah, there's not going to be a next time. That was it, one time. But now she spoke several times, and she'll even tell you that the Lord challenged her about a year ago that she's supposed to speak more, and you're going to see more of her in that. And is it what she wanted to do? No. Is she scared to death? Yes. But it's a matter of obedience and allowing God to use us in the way that He sees fit. And when we do that, He rises up in us and allows us to do the things that He's called us to do. It's because of our willingness to trust in the Lord in the midst of those situations that He gives us strength. And here's the thing. I know numerous people in our church who have stepped out of their comfort zone and said yes to what God is telling them to do. And my prayer is that more and more of us will continue to do the same. Because living life as a believer means letting God use us as He sees fit. Giving Him control of our life. We think we know what's best for us, and God says, no. I know what's best for you and those around you. And I want to use you in amazing ways if you would just be faithful to be obedient. To not be afraid. To know that, yes, it's going to be bigger than you. But you can do all things through me who gives me strength. And it means stepping out of our comfort zone. And it means letting the power of the Holy Spirit give us the boldness to do the things that we never thought we'd be capable of doing. It means allowing Christ in us to allow us to be the hope of glory to those around us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for just Your Word. We thank You for Paul and the book of Acts as we learn about the church, as we learn about these great men of God who were faithful to live their lives for You, Lord. And they set an example to us, Lord, of how we're called to live as Christians, to be people who share the Word of God boldly, to be people who allow You to guide and direct our steps, to be people, Lord, who give up our will for Your will, to allow You to use us as You see fit. And Lord, so my prayer this morning is that You would allow this Word to speak to our hearts as we're all at different places on this journey of what it means to follow You and live our lives for You. I pray that, Lord, You would meet each of us where we're at. And that's what I love about You, Lord, because I know that You do. That You would meet us where we're at and You would allow these things to penetrate our hearts, to challenge us. What is it we're struggling with? Do we need to discover what You really did in our lives so that we can share Your Word boldly? Do we need to allow You to guide and direct us in areas where maybe we have allowed ourselves to guide and direct? Do we need to surrender our lives fully to that place where we let You use us in the way that You want us to, where we say yes to those hard things that You've been trying to get us to do, but we continue to say no? Whatever it is, wherever we're at, Lord, I just pray Your Spirit upon us right now, Lord, that through the power of Your Holy Spirit, as You continue to pour into our lives, and as we continue to seek to stir Your Spirit, that it would give us that boldness to step out and to do the things that You've called us to do. We thank You for these things, Lord. We give them to You, and we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.